Hello, and welcome to episode one of the Primitive Athlete Podcast. I'm Alan Golson, certified elite trainer, certified nutritionist, certified online coach. And we have the pleasure today to have my wife and business partner, Dr. Sarah Golson. She has her doctorate in psychology. She is a certified mental strength expert and a certified health coach. Today's topic is going to be in the regards of mental strength coaching, training, and how it can help athletes, non-athletes. I don't know as much about it as she does, so let's get right into it. How are you today, Sarah?
I'm good.
That's good. So what is mental strength?
Mental strength is confidence in your abilities and feeling connected in your mind and body.
Okay, so someone that is connected in their abilities and mind and body, how does that equate in an athlete's terms? If it's a triathlete or a bike rider getting ready for a race, how do they get their mind and body right?
Making sure that their body is cooperating with their mind, making sure that they're on the same page, that they're confident, that they're understanding what they need to do, how they need to do it, that they're physically ready, that they're mentally ready, that they know what their expectations are, and that they're focusing on, for example, in a race, that they're focusing on the goal of what that race at that moment is and not worrying about anything else outside of that moment.
So mental strength coaching or training bridges the gap between the athlete's coach and how the athlete implements what they've been taught into a competition setting.
Correct. It teaches strategies to help them learn to use what they know most effectively.
So what types of athletes can benefit from mental strength coaching?
Any athletes. Any person in general can benefit from mental strength. Being confident in what you're doing on a day-to-day basis in life can benefit. Knowing that you have the skills and strategies to effectively do what you want to do is beneficial.
Yeah, so that ties into our performance nutrition side, where performance doesn't just have to be in the gym or on the track. Performance can be in the boardroom as well, where if you're traveling and you have jet lag, what kind of nutrition do you need to overcome that? Also on the same side, what do you need to do mentally to prepare for that meeting or presentation that you're going to have?
Absolutely. If you know that you're a procrastinator, then you know you need to prepare in advance to have your nutrition ready. You know that, what strategies do I need to put in place to make sure I'm ready? So I don't get to that point where my nutrition's not there and now I'm panicking. Learning how to put the strategies in place to be most effective so you can be the best that you can be, because you know what you're capable of, so let's put the strategies in place so you can get the best out of those capabilities.
Okay, so we're companies, primitive athletes, so let's circle back to the athlete on this. Is it an individual concept? Is it a team concept? Explain that to me.
So it can be both individual or team. Some individuals do better by themselves especially in the beginning, if they're really struggling with something that they may be embarrassed that they're struggling about, they may feel more comfortable talking in an individual setting. But teams do great as well. Being in a team setting, you get the added benefit of having your teammates point things out that you're good at that maybe you don't recognize, but they see every day in the gym or on the field where you may not be as confident about. Or they may have a strategy that they use that's been really beneficial that you've never used before that you're able to hear them talk about that they then realize, oh, I could try that. So being in a team setting or a group setting, you get the added benefit of hearing what others are doing. So it does add that added aspect that you don't get in an individual setting. But then in an individual setting, you have that more intimate setting where you may be more open to talk about things that you may not talk about in a group setting. So there's benefits of both.
So on the same lines of individual and team, is it more relevant in an individual sport versus a team sport, the need for mental strength training?
Not necessarily. There's gymnast benefit as an individual, but so do pitchers, catchers. In a team sport, you're still an individual playing a team sport. Yes, you're part of a team, but you have individual responsibilities. So it's still your individual mind that has to be ready to go out there and be part of that team.
And I guess there's also in the team aspect, let's take a soccer team or basketball team. Not everyone on the team is going to get along with each other. So there's always going to be some sort of rub that's between the players, not even to mention between the players and their coach. So I guess mental strength training can help teammates cooperate better, which would in turn increase performance in whatever sport they're doing.
Absolutely. In mental strength training, we're not just teaching how to improve your individual skills, but how to deal with team aspects, how to deal with interacting with teammates, interacting with coaches, how to understand what a coach may be saying if they say something one way, how to interpret what they may be meaning versus always taking it as a negative, learning how to interpret what's being said. Same with teammates. A teammate may say something and learning how to really listen and take in what's being said and not always taking it the wrong way. It really helps build that team mentality when you understand how to interpret what's being said to you, maybe in a different way than you may have been taking it initially.
There's something you brought up earlier. You said the word gymnastics, and what comes to my mind is the 2020-2021 Olympics with Simone Biles and how she was mentally not in the right place to compete at certain times for the United States, and that kind of shed a light that might not have been on the subject of mental strength. You know, we kind of are taught to grow up to hold our feelings in, and we don't really like to talk about it. And I think that it's especially true with athletes because it, you know, if you talk about something that's not going right for you, it's almost considered a weakness, and you don't want to be, you know, showing that you're weak in whatever you're doing. So have you seen a difference in how that's brought more attention to mental strength?
I think it has. I think it's brought more attention to it, which I think is very necessary, because a lot of the sports, especially that are younger, in our younger athletes, they needed to see something like that, because they try to hold everything in and act like they're strong when maybe they're not. And that leads to injuries and burnout and people quitting when maybe they didn't want to because they're scared. And our kids are doing harder and harder things younger and younger, and expected to pretend like it's not scary, expected to pretend like what they're doing is okay, or that they have to be tough, or they have to do things one way or another, and that it's not okay to speak up. And they need to learn that it's okay to speak up, it's okay to ask for help when they need it, or say, I'm not comfortable with this and I need help.
How young of an athlete do you think it's beneficial to start mental strength coaching?
As young as they can ask for help. We can put it into words that they can understand. As soon as a child is young enough to ask for help, they're old enough to understand.
I like that line. As long as a child is young enough to ask for help. That's perfect. How does it help an adult athlete that's, I guess, on the same lines, that they've grown up with this one mindset? How does mental strength coaching get them to the next level?
We have to learn that it's okay not to be perfect, that it's okay to ask for help, that it's okay to learn strategies to get past our hang-ups and our spots where we get stuck, and that it's okay to not be perfect and to need help to get past the hurdles that have held us back in the past.
On the flip side of that, a lot of sports require perfection. So I'm not sure how to phrase it, but there's sprinters that win by a nose. There's swimmers that win by fingertips. There's gymnasts that are scored on points, like, as well as divers. How do you reconcile not having to be perfect in a system that requires perfection?
It's progress, not perfection.
So it all comes back to perfection and how we deal with the stresses in our lives and cope with the need to always be perfect. Is that correct?
Basically, it's the understanding that we don't have to be perfect, and accepting the fact that we're working towards being the best us that we can be, and that nobody's perfect, but as long as we're making progress towards being better, that nobody's ever going to be perfect. You have to be the best that you're capable of being, and that you're always trying to make progress towards being better, but that you're never going to be perfect, and that you're trying to work towards betterment.
I don't think I could have said it any better, and I'm not sure that I have any more questions, but if you do, reach out to Dr. Sarah Golson at Primitive Athlete. Website is primitiveathlete.com, and schedule a consultation with her. She might be able to help you. Thank you, Sarah, for your time.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening.